I never know what they're going to sing. I just let the Lord lead them. But you'll see that the song probably fit with my sermon pretty good. Being a part of the church is what I'm going to talk about this morning. You know, he's brought us out of our past and placed us in his divine plan. He brought us out of sin and put us into righteousness. He brought us out of defeat and give us victory. He's taken us from being a nobody to being a somebody. He's taken us from being alone and connected us with others in the church. He's taken some that didn't feel like they belonged anywhere and made a place for them in the body of Christ. You know, this morning I'm thankful for the church. And when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the body of believers. That's the worldwide church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to bring it on back. I want to bring it on home. I'm specifically proud and thankful to be a part of Rhema Bible Church. You know, I was talking to some of my fellow pastors recently, and I said, you know, what I appreciate about my church is we have so many different people here in Rhema Bible Church, and I appreciate the diversity that we have. You know, now we have the older people, and I want to call them more mature because I'm part of that group myself. But they come to church faithfully. And we have the many families who make attending church a part of their busy schedule every week. I'm thankful for our young people who make coming to church a priority in their lives. I'm thankful for the many different cultures that we have represented in this congregation that stand side by side and hand in hand and worship God together. You know, I'm thankful for each one of us that is willing to invest ourselves into the church and the kingdom of God. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I was born on a Sunday, and I was in my dad's church the next Sunday, and I've been there ever since. Has it always been easy? No. Has it always been delightful? No. But being in the church every week after week after week, year after year after year, has helped me to become the person that I have become. And the same with you. You know, some people shy away from being part of the local church because they got hurt. Has anyone, you know, I mean, probably all of us have been hurt by someone, maybe even in the church. But we were able to recover because of the kind words of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, we should determine to be one of those that is active in church and viewing church as a very necessary part of our lives. I say it this way, if you want to become all God wants you to be, you got to regularly be involved with a local congregation and worshiping God together. Because he said in the word of God, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. There's something about when we come together as a church family, we draw strength from one another. Let's look at Matthew 16:18. I'm going to be reading from the NLT and other translation. Now I say to you that you're Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The God's Word translation says, I guarantee that on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overpower it. You know, He said he would build the church upon the rock. You know, God's been doing that for 2,000 plus years now, and he'll keep on doing it till Jesus returns. You know, some people are always chasing around after every last fad. Some people are saying, what's the latest thing God's doing? Well, I'll tell you the latest things God's doing. It's what he's always been doing. He is building his church. You know, whatever he does or whatever he's doing in the earth today is to build the church. You know, many people have different ideas about church. Some that have never been a part of a church, but they think they know what the church should be doing. Others get their idea from their denominational leadership, or some from social media posts, which most of the time are not true in the first place. But I believe if we look at the Word of God, we'll find out about the church. I think it will help us to have a better understanding. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Actually, when Jesus is talking here, and he's talking about the rock, he's talking about himself and God. Throughout the Bible, God is referred to as the rock at least 40 times. There are several verses. I want to just read a few of them. 2 Samuel 2:2, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Psalms 18:31. For who is God except the Lord? But who but our God is a solid rock? Skip down to verse 46 in that 18th chapter. The Lord lives. Praise to my rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalms 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. You know, there's many, many other verses that refer to the Lord and to God as the rock. I believe specifically here from what I've studied that actually, Christ is referring to himself. Elsewhere in the scripture, Jesus is referred to as the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. A holy building, temple there. Actually, and then 1 Peter 2:6, and I'm reading, been reading these from the NLT. Actually, Peter is quoting from the prophet Isaiah 28:16. Now, if you do any study, you'll find out that when they back then, under the Mosaic law, Isaiah and the prophets and all, when they came to the temple, the priest most of the time read from Isaiah. He was the most read of in the scrolls when they went to the synagogue. Peter says here, as the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts him will never be disgraced. Jesus is the immovable rock on which God is building the church. I'm sure many of you can remember a song we used to sing, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand. How many of you remember that song? Yes. Spiritually speaking, Peter is saying here that the church is made up of living stones who have been joined together with Christ to become the spiritual house of God. And 1 Peter 2:4-5. You're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He who was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple or building. What's more, you are holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. William Barclay, the great Scottish minister, he said, Christianity is community. I say it like this: church is community. The individual that finds his true place only when he's built into the edifice or built into the church building. And the church building is not rock and stone, carpet and pews. The church building is you. All of us are the church. Okay? Another Cranfield says in his daily Bible study, freelance Christian who would be a Christian but is too superior to belong to the visible church. You know, there's a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, I don't need the church. Yes, we do. Everybody does. There's a story of the, and some of you can remember from your history, Sparta in Greece. There's a story that goes, it's a famous story. A Spartan king was boasting to a visiting monarch of all of his, about the walls of Sparta. The visiting monarch, he looked around, he didn't see any walls. And he said, where are the walls of which you boast about? And the Sparta king pointed his host to look at all the magnificent troops standing around. He said, they are the walls of Sparta. Every man is a brick. You build a wall with rocks or brick coming together. The point here is that individually by yourself, there is, you can't accomplish. You need the help of others. We need to be incorporated into the church. And as we come together right here, everything begins to make sense and bring us victory. You know, William Barclay said again, so it's with the individual Christian to realize his destiny. Realize his destiny, he must not remain alone, but must be built into the fabric of the church. Can one person successfully defend a country by himself? No. He's only effective when he stands with other soldiers and courageously defends his country. That's why it's so important when you start having difficulties and problems, don't run from church. Come back here, because this is where you will be protected. This is where your family members, your church family members are there for you. They are not against you. It doesn't matter what you do. We are here for you to help you to overcome your problem. Too many people, when they find themselves in a problem, they stop coming to the very place that will protect them and help them and to get back on track. But see, that's what the devil wants, because he knows the power within the church banding together. You know, turn to your neighbor and say, stay connected to Christ and the church. He goes on to say, all the power of hell cannot conquer it. Other translations, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. Another translation, the power of death will not be able to defeat it. The church has endured since it was established on the day of Pentecost. The world has ridiculed the church. The devil has attacked the church and is still attacking the church. He's trying to stop the church. Liberal theologians have weakened the operation in many churches because of all the doubt and unbelief that was coming from the pulpit. And the Bible tells us to be wary of wolves in sheep's clothing that are rising with inside of the church to try to devour it. There have been heresies preached. Schisms and divisions have tried to segment the church. But let me tell you something. God is still God, and God is still building his church. And nothing, if you will stay with God, he'll stay with you. If you'll stay with the church, it'll stay with you. The power of hell may try to destroy the church, but ultimately nothing can stop the building of God's church. William Barclay again said this phrase, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, is a triumphant expression of the indestructibility of Christ and the church. The devil always will try to isolate a believer from the church so that it's easier to destroy. We need to learn something as the church from the animal kingdom. When there is a sick, hurting animal, they put it in the middle of the herd because the ones that would devour them, that's who they look for, those that are not in the main herd, but they look for those that are straggling along. How many of you have ever studied that in the animal kingdom? It's a truth. You see, that is so important that we understand that he tries to isolate us from the church, and then he attacks us and gives us problems that we can't handle. We need each other. Jesus is the head of the church, right? We are the body of the church. And here on earth, he's given us three things to help us because he's in heaven. He's given us his word. He's given us the spirit. And he's given us a body of believers to participate in. In a practical sense, I want to do a little demonstration. Maybe it will help you some. Okay? All right, I'm going to get some help. Carlos, I need you to come up here on the stage. Okay? Now I want you to come, and I want you to stand right over here. Stand right here. Okay. This is Jesus in heaven. Okay? All right, let's see. I need somebody else to come and help me up here. Let me find somebody else to help me up there. What's his name? I just went blank right there. Yeah, you. I know you, but I just went blank. Nathan, yeah, come on up here. All right. Okay. Now, You stand right over here. Okay. Here I am. I'm a Christian, okay? Now you come and attack me, okay? You attack me. Hey, Jesus, why aren't you helping me? Stay right there. Why aren't you helping me? Why? He's in heaven. He's already given us something to help us. Okay? Now give me Kamar. Yeah, come on, Kamar, you come up here. All right. Let's see. He won't like it, but I'm gonna get my son-in-law up here. Don, come up here. I told you, I'll get in trouble, but that's all right. Skyler and one of my grandsons, you come up here. All right, now. Okay, you go over there. You guys come here. All right, let's see. You're the Word. Come here. You stand right here. You're the Spirit. You come and stand right here. Right here. Okay? And you're the body of believers that's surrounding me. Now, you guys surround me. Now, see? All right. Jesus in heaven, but he's given me all of this to protect me from this one. They can't get to me. All right. Now, I realize that's a simple demonstration, but how many of y'all that put a completely new picture in your life? You begin to see. You see, it's the Word and the Spirit and the body of believers, the church, with you that brings the victory. And I don't know, we need to learn to get a hold of this fact. So many times, the devil works to isolate you, and when he isolates you, now he has, and I could have went a little further and just had the Spirit and the Word, but then I would have been left open if the body of believers weren't there. Remember, I had the three around me? But if I just had the Spirit and the Word, now I'm still unprotected. I need the body of believers to complete the hedge of protection that God intends for us to have. I don't know whether y'all getting anything out of this or not, but this, to me, this is a very exciting subject. It helps us to understand. So many times we talk about the church, and the church is, we talk about the Spirit and the Word, and they are vitally, vitally important. But we don't give the place to the body of believers or the church that we are attached to the meaning that it needs to have. There's a strength there. Come on now. Anybody understand what I'm trying to get across to you? We need all three to build the church. He's in heaven, but he's given us these three, the Spirit, the Word, and the body of believers to help us to navigate upon the sea of life. You know, if the enemy can separate you from any one of those three, you are vulnerable. He can attack you. I've seen it happen time and time again. As somebody got out of church. Oh, it's okay. I still have my Bible. I still, you know. But they gradually are destroyed by the enemy. Coming to church and being a part of a body of believers was instituted by Jesus himself when he instituted the church. And as long as we're connected through the Word and the Spirit and the body of believers, we will prevail. Say it with me. We have the Word. We have the Spirit. We need to be connected with a body of believers called the church. You know, people get under attack and they say, I got the word. Well, thank God you got the Word. But they get under attack and they say, I got the Holy Spirit. Thank God you've got that. But then they become discouraged because something's not happening, and it's because they are not coming to the body of believers that they're connected to. That's why we tell you all the time, let us at the church office know when you're having some difficulties, when you're going to surgery and so forth and so on. Why? So the church can rally around you. Why do we, when somebody has passed, we announce from the platform? Why? So that the body of believers can surround that family with our prayers and our encouraging words. Come on. I'm talking about the church. Thank God for the global church. But each local congregation, that you are a church within yourself, a part of the international global church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecclesia. But we are the local church, and the local church has to be involved. Each member has to be in a place, working, being involved, helping one another, because that's what the church is all about. Man. You know, if you want to be all that God wants you to be, you got to tap in to what He's provided for you. Everybody say, I'm in the Word. Yeah, good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. Stay there. Oh, yeah, I got the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit lives within me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And yeah, that's great. I'm glad. I've talked to people that said that. I said, what church do you go to? What bodily believers are you attached to? Oh, well, I go over here because I sometimes, and I go over here sometimes, and I go over there sometimes. And they wonder why they got the Word, they got the Spirit, and they wonder why they're always in trouble, always sick, and something's always happening. Because they're leaving out one of the things that God has given you to protect you, to help you, to guide you and lead you and help you. How many of you, I'm going to ask you, how many of you have been discouraged? You've been praying, you've been reading the Word, but you've still been discouraged, and you've come to church, and either the pastor or somebody in the church shook your hand, and the word they said to you was an encouragement to you. Let me see your hand. That's almost 100% in here. I can lift my hand too. Do you realize? See, some people don't realize the ministry staff. We can have things happen and things to us, and you don't realize it. But as we go to all these doors to shake your hands, some of you will shake your hand and you'll say something. You never realize it, but it ministers to us. We minister to one another. Hello. That's why we're always encouraging fellowship. That's why we encourage you to get involved in a School of the Bible class that's a little smaller, where you can get to know people on a regular basis. You know, people, I've had people say, boy, that's a big church, but they get involved in a school of the Bible. They get involved in working in one of the areas of the church. And then they say to me, you know, he said, this is a big church, but it don't seem big anymore because I'm sitting over here and I see all these people sitting on the other side that I'm connected with. Come on now. If you come into church and somebody says, well, I just feel alone, got no friends. Let me tell you what, you're not getting in. You're in church, but you're not getting involved with the church. Hello. Man, y'all, I'm glad y'all stand with me this morning. This would be a hard subject to preach if you weren't staying with me, but I can sense and I can feel that you are getting a hold of what I'm talking about, the importance of the body of believers that we are connected with. Oh, man. You know, like I said, if you want to be all that God wants you to be, then you've got to tap in to the Word, the Spirit. But don't forget to tap into the church, the body of believers. For there is where you find strength and stability and safety. That is where you can grow in the Lord, along with your fellow church members. Who is the church? The body of Christ, the rock. Individually, people like you and I, that's who the church is. The church is a group of believers who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and allow Him to be their rock. The church is a community of people who stay connected together and support one another. The church, a mighty fortress against which the gates of hell cannot, will not ever prevail, because the church is the church and it'll be the church and it'll do what the church is supposed to do, and we'll reach out and we'll bring hope, help, and healing to the world we live in. Not that we're going to bring it to the whole world in one sense of the word with all of our rhemas that we've got all over the world, but our world, where is our world? That's where we live. That's where we work. That's where we breathe. That's where we worship together. Today, I've just tried to encourage you about the church and to motivate you to realize that if you're going to accomplish what you need to accomplish, you've got to be an active part of a body of believers. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this today? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? If you happen to be in this place and you're not a part of the church, the general ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones that have been born again by the Lord Jesus Christ, you never accepted Him, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. Or you may be here and know what it is to be serve God, but you've just gone off and you need to rededicate your life. Or you may be here and you may say, I'm born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. And I'm talking about what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, or you want to be received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Anybody in this room, anywhere, let me see your hand, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody, anywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hand back there, I think, it's being raised. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want to ask you to come to the front right now. Come down to the front right now. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I want to shake your hand and pray with you. Come on down here now.
The altar, the Father's altar.
If you raise your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, come on now. Come on now.
Precious blood,
come on now.
Of Jesus Christ, oh, come to the altar.
Come right here.
The Father's,
come right here.
Open wide.
Just stand beside of her. That's good. Anybody else coming? Come on now. Come on now.
Blood of Jesus Christ,
I'm looking for you. Come on. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You want to be filled with the Spirit. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Each of y'all look in my direction right now. I'm going to pray with you here. But then I'm going to ask you to go to a special place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Okay? I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. Makes no difference which one. Our congregation, reach your hands out right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their lives will be met today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me. When you get in that room, you're going to get a book called New Birth that talks about being a Christian. You're going to get another one that talks about what you have because you're in Him, because you're in Christ. Another one that talks about what White Tongues talks about the Holy Spirit. If you just turn and see Dave right there, there are people in that waiting for you to pray with you. Would you just follow him to that special place? You can go with her if you want to. Just follow him to that special place of prayer. Just go right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody bow your heads. Don't nobody be looking around. I want to ask you a question. After hearing my message today, are there any of you that would like to raise your hands and say, after the message today, I realize I need to make some adjustments in my attitude. You're a Christian, I'm sorry, but I need to make some adjustments in my attitude about church and attending church. Let me see your hand. Wherever you're at, just raise your hand anywhere. You need to make some adjustments. I see several hands all over the congregation. You can put them down. I ask now, as I pray for you, I ask everyone in here to renew your commitment to be faithful as a part of the local body of believers. Okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of our members. I thank you that some of them are having to make some adjustments. Thank you that you helped them to make those adjustments. Father, I thank you that as we all now renew our commitment to be a faithful part and involved in the local church, I thank you that you would give us the strength, the ability to be able to do what you have asked us to do. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. I trust you got a hold of what I was trying to get across to you today, how important it is for us to be a part of the church, the local church, as well as the ecclesia, the called out ones, the entire body of Christ that includes all the local churches. Amen.